The Holy Bible, a book inspired and architected by God and written by his people, dating back to the beginning of real human history, from the time of man's true origins. A book that teaches us that the earth is not millions of years old, as we've been brought up to believe. A book teaching us that we did not come from monkeys or apes or primordial soup, but a book that instead shows us our Creator is a loving, merciful, and just God. A God who created a beautiful world in which the entire planet was once a paradise. A paradise that he gave to us to fill up and multiply across. In Genesis, we're shown that God had finished all of creation in 6 literal days. And that indeed, everything he had created was very, very good. Finished with the heavens and the earth. And it was on the 5th day that he began making the sea creatures, both great and small. And on that very same day, he also made all of the exotic flying creatures, which flew through the open firmament of the beautiful heaven. On the 6th day, he made all of the majestic land creatures, which included all of the dinosaurs, along with mankind. He also planted a garden, and in the midst of it, the tree of life. But there was another tree God had also placed in the garden, one that God commanded men not to eat from. Sadly, mankind used their free will to sin against their holy and righteous God. With free will comes consequences. And in this case, the consequences of sin would plunge mankind into darkness.
It's that darkness that led us to a need for a Savior. Because the darkness represents sin. Light represents God. Let there be light. That's what God spoke. And truly light came to the world. And light came by the way of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God with us, the Son of God. He came to this world that he created to destroy the darkness and sin itself. And he did so on a cross. And one day he's coming back. And we studied all about that over the last several months from the book of the Revelation, the end of the Bible. And now we go back to the beginning. It's where we're going to be for the next 5 months. We've titled this series, The Beginning. We're going to look at chapters 1 through 11. And I encourage you now to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, probably the easiest place you'll have to find, right? Today's message, church family, is going to be an introductory message. So it's not going to be your typical message where I'm exegeting a passage of Scripture. I'm going to literally set up this entire series as best I can. I hope to lay out today a foundation that for us as followers of Jesus that we can understand as students of the Bible how we need to see that Genesis is the foundation for the majority of the doctrines of Scripture, and without a firm belief in the first 11 chapters of the book of the Bible that the rest of the Bible becomes suspect. In other words, if you can't park your brain around the first 11 chapters of the Bible, you're going to struggle with the rest. Therefore, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the book of Genesis is the most quoted book in all the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know that the New Testament, for example, directly quotes or points to the book of Genesis no less than 200 times, with half of those referring to the first 11 chapters of Genesis? Jesus Christ himself quoted or referred to each of the first 7 chapters of the book of Genesis. Let me give you an example. You've seen this many times. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus referring back to Genesis chapter 1. Jesus said, and he answered, "Have you not read that he who created," who is that? God. "Created them from" when? "The beginning, made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So church, it's obvious that Jesus believed in the book of Genesis and how we as humanity got to this earth. He said, from the beginning, God made them male and female. That is foundational to who we are as a people. Jesus in Matthew 19, he taught and affirmed the foundational truth that mankind came into existence because we were created by God. How? Well, let me show you this. This is a literal description. See the strings. Creation is the work of God in bringing all things into existence. But that's not what we've been told, is it? What does the world say? How did we get here? A bang. Billions of years ago. Yet the Word of God we see, and you'll see over the next 5 months, teaches that God created us. The God who is eternal, the God who knows everything, the God who is everywhere, created everything, and He created everything out of nothing. This term in Latin, see the screens, is ex nihilo. It means out of nothing. God created everything out of nothing by simply speaking everything into existence. He did nothing to manufacture or make outside of His spoken word. He spoke it. He said, "Let there be light." Light. God did not merely rework materials already in existence. He made everything out of nothing. And for those who try to squeeze evolution and creation together, it simply won't work. And we're going to see this as we go through the message today. You've made your way to Genesis 1. Let's look at the first 5 verses, shall we? In the beginning, God. And I'll just say this. If you can hang your hat on those first 4 words and be okay with those first 4 words, the rest of the Bible is going to be a piece of cake for you. In the beginning, God. Is that true? Or is it in the beginning, bang? That's what you're going to have to wrestle with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." Bang. In that case, there was light. Not a big bang, but just God speaking it. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Now watch this next phrase. This is going to be very important in our study. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. We'll stop there. How did the universe come into existence? God. That's it. Very simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it's interesting. The Hebrews did not have a word for the word universe. They had a phrase for universe. And then we just read that phrase. The phrase that they used for universe is the heavens and the earth. That's the phrase for universe. So it could be said this way. In the beginning, God created ex nihilo, out of nothing, the universe. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, where did God come from? Where did God come from? God doesn't have a mama, and He ain't got a daddy. God has always existed. There has never been a time when God has not existed. Y'all ready? We are the finite trying to understand the infinite, the infinite. What is God's name? Yahweh, which we get the word Jehovah. But what does it mean? I am. He is existence. I am. He's everything. Kind of hard to fathom, isn't it? God has always existed. He is the eternal one, the one who existed, and at some point in eternity, in his existence, he became the creator and created everything that we see today. Now, I know this is deep, but I need you to park your mind around this. That phrase, in the beginning, launched a previous non-existent reality, something that didn't exist. What was that? Time. Time didn't exist until God created it. And at a certain point in eternity, God spoke everything into existence out of nothing, ex nihilo, including time. I want you to see the screen. St. Augustine said this: with the motion of creatures, time began to run its course. It is idle to look for time before creation, as if time can be found before time. We should therefore say that time began with creation rather than creation began with time. Both are from God, for from him and through him and in him are all things. Augustine is right. And so it's been said, time is God's creature. And it was time which provided the framework for God's creation, which he did in six literal days, which we'll see next week. Because I know some of you are going to want to try to fit millions of years into the 6 days, the day-age theory, the gap theory, and all this. A day is 1,000 years to God. And so I'm going to show you that, but I can't do it all in this one message. Because I had somebody come up to me after the first service, and they're just already hitting me up. I said, hang on tight. They come up to me, and they go, what about the dating methods? What about that? I said, that's coming. That's another message. Yeah, I can't do it all in one message. But today is a foundational message on this idea. Did we get here by way of evolution, or did we get here by way of creation? Here's the thing. None of this stuff, as far as creation is concerned, is taught to our kids, right? This is one of the main reasons that we're doing this sermon series is for our young people. Because we have very good teachers, but they're only allowed to teach what the curriculum teaches. And so the curriculum will not allow the teaching of creation and evolution. And I say to the evolutionists, if you're so confident in your theories, why can you not allow creation to be taught and let the student make a decision for themselves if you're so confident? But they're not confident. They're not. They're threatened by creation. So it cannot be taught. So over the last couple of hundred years in this country, we've gone from a nation where our best universities and colleges used to educate our young men to become preachers and Bible scholars. And today, those same learning institutions of higher education doesn't know what a woman is. Harvard and Yale were teaching colleges for men to study to become pastors. Did you know that? Harvard and Yale. And now they don't know what a woman is. And they graduate people like Ketanji Brown Jackson, who sits on our Supreme Court. And when she was asked in her hearing to be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, she said that she could not tell the senator who asked, do you know what a woman is? She said, I cannot say. Really? Really? And that's where we are. So how did all this start? Well, we go back to in the Industrial Revolution, and we lead up to this man. Anybody know who this guy is? Take a look at the screens. Anybody know that guy? Tell me who he is. Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin. Darwin wrote his most famous book titled Origin of the Species in 1856, right before the Civil War. And it's from that book the world adopted what is today called the theory of evolution. But is it taught as a theory, church? No! It's taught as what? Fact. It's a fact. That's not even how he presented it. It was his theory. But it's taught as fact. And that has now become synonymous with what is called the Big Bang. See the screens? This is what is taught today, the history of the universe. From the left-hand side, a bang into what we are today, over billions of years. That's the formation of the universe, they say, from floating molecules in a primordial goo to you. And as Pastor Matthew reminded me after the first service, he said it could be said from a primordial goo to you by way of the zoo. Ooh, 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 ha, ha, ha. Ooh, ooh. You know, it used to be that they said that the Big Bang happened 13.1 billion years ago. Then they changed it to 14.5 billion years ago. Then they changed it again back to 13.8 billion years ago. And now they say it's 15.1 billion years ago. But there's some that want to change it back to 14.5 billion years. So which is it? But what does it matter, a couple of billion years? They have no idea, church. You know what I want to say to these so-called scientists? Were you there? Were you there? Who was there? God. God was there when he created everything and spoke everything into existence. And he breathed into Moses the book of Genesis so that we would know how it all happened. But you struggle with it. You know why you struggle with it? Because does a fish know he's wet? We've been swimming in evolution all of our lives, especially our young people. We've been swimming in this. And so we just take it and we accept it. When we watch some sort of documentary on the Science Channel or the Discovery Channel, or they're saying something on the Weather Channel, and this was millions and millions of years ago, some footprint of a dinosaur 130 million years ago, and all these things, and we just oh, okay, well, that's the scientists, that's the experts, I guess we got to go with this. Yeah, just like COVID. Right? Didn't the experts tell us to stay 6 feet away? Right? Wear your mask. We are going to look back 40 or 50 years from now, if the Lord tarries his coming, and watch people outside at an event wearing masks and going to go, what was their problem? What are they doing? And there are people that still wear masks outside. And I'm like, Lord have mercy, if you're that scared, stay inside. It's mind-boggling to me. Walk into a restaurant greeted by a hostess. And then you can go with your mask on and then go sit down 15 feet away and get to take your mask off. The experts don't know everything. And yet this idea of this bang from goo to you has, well, we're swimming in it and have been for many decades. We have been evolutionized. So what you're going to hear in this room is going to sound contrary to so much of what you've been taught and what you've heard the majority of your life. And so listen to me carefully. I am not anti-science. I am good with science. But when science disagrees with the Word of God, guess where I'm going? I'm going with God. I'm going with the Creator over the created. I'm going with what God says versus what His created beings say. You tracking with me? You're going to have to wrestle with it, I promise you. I believe one of the greatest lies ever perpetrated upon mankind is this lie of evolution. And I lament today, many of our seminaries and most of the mainline Protestant denominations have bought this lie, hook, line, and sinker. Many of our modern-day theologians and Bible commentators feel it is now necessary to take the simple explanation of the creation in Genesis and now deny it on the grounds of science. Notice the air quotes. Science. Let me give you an example. I was reading an article studying for this message by a pretty well-known pastor and Bible commentator on the book of Genesis, who basically said, and this is a quote, quote, God didn't really mean for us to conclude that he created everything in six literal days because that doesn't fit with science. Really? We're now going to place science over God and his word? Science. You know, Anthony Fauci said he was science. You remember that? Anybody remember that? You ought to look it up. Now, I don't use Google. I use DuckDuckGo. But you need to DuckDuckGo. Anthony Fauci said he is science. See, and this is where we live today. People who want to claim to be experts, and so we can't question it. We've just got to take it because some expert said it. Can I be blunt? You say, when aren't you? It is not easy to impose evolution on Genesis 1. It's a real, real stretch to try to impose evolution on Genesis 1. But that's what people do. Even within Christendom. They now, in our day, are saying that Genesis 1 is allegory. It's some sort of metaphor. Or worse, is a myth or a legend or some, quote, non-literary poetry. But church, it is very, very difficult for any Bible commentator or pastor or seminarian to say that evolution is how we got here and then somehow discount Genesis 1 as some sort of fable, some sort of myth. Let me ask you something. You're good with the Word of God when it comes to your salvation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You good with that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Good with that? You good with John 3:16? For God so loved the world again. You're good with all that, right? But we struggle with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's up with that? We're going to struggle with this same God who tells us how we can be saved and go to heaven, but somehow not believe that he could tell Moses what to write about how this whole thing got started? Really? That would make us inconsistent. That would make us disingenuous when we're actually saying we believe in the Word of God. You believe all of it, but Genesis 1:1? You're going to trust God to get you to heaven, but don't trust God on how he got us here in the first place? The teaching of evolution is bizarre. Church, it's bizarre to think because of an explosion in space at whatever, 13.1 billion years, 15.8, whatever it is, that literally from nothing, voila, us. It's bizarre. It is absolutely bizarre when you really think about it. See, Christianity, we're accused of being a faith that's blind religion. That you have to check all reason at the door. No, Christianity is a reasoned faith. It is a thinking faith. It is an intelligent faith. You're going to see that over the next 5 months. There's no way that we're going to be able to deny what I believe is the straightforward, unmistakable, clear teaching of creation. Brothers and sisters, you need to know this. Charles Darwin developed his entire theory on what he observed. Now, anybody remember the date I told you when he wrote his book? Anybody remember? 1856, pre-Civil War. Did we have DNA science back then? Genetic science back then? Molecular science back then? Quantum science back then? No, 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 and no. So what he saw, what he observed, which was illusory in essence, he then hypothesized that we all got here by way of this literally a development from species to species to species. That literally our ancient ancestors were rocks. From non-living organisms to us. Because it's not that just we came from a monkey. We came all the way back to an explosion of matter that then developed this soup or goo that we came from. It's bizarre. It truly is bizarre. And yet it's taught as fact. And if you don't agree with it in the academic community, then you are gaslit, shamed, intimidated to acquiesce to the majority, and even worse, called a fool. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll give you a second to do that. Church, what I'm saying to you this morning, and you're going to have to wrap your mind around, is where do you get your authority? In other words, what do you look to as your authority? Are you going to look to the Word of God, or are you going to look to man? That it's what it comes down to. Again, I'm not anti-science, because science is the study of all that God has made. But science will not disagree with the Bible. And when it does disagree with the Bible, guess who's wrong? Watch. Science. Science. 2 Peter chapter 3, jump down to verse 5. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and that the earth was formed out of water and through water by what? How did God make it all? His word. By the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water. What is that? Noah's flood. You tracking? Noah's flood caused everything to perish, but by the same word, the word of God, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for what? Fire. God put a rainbow in the sky. No more flood. Next time it's fire. Being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Church, let me explain something. Again, I know this message is different. It's a bit technical. I understand that, but this is for our kids. Because our kids, as good as our schools are and as good as our teachers are, they're not allowed to hear this. They're not allowed to hear this. And this is why I want the kids to understand this. I want to show you a picture, and I'm going to show you two different viewpoints. Anybody know what that is? That is the geologic column. That's a bunch of buried stuff, right? See that? The evolutionist looks at that and says this. See, that's millions and millions and millions of years. The creationist looks at the geologic column and says, no, that was all caused by a worldwide flood, Noah's flood. See the difference? Looking at the same evidence with a totally different understanding of it. What is that? Grand Canyon. What is Grand Canyon? Well, the evolutionist sees the Grand Canyon and says, it's a little bit of water over millions and millions of years that made the Grand Canyon. But the creationist says, no, that was a lot of water over a short period of time by way of Noah's flood. Which is it? We're going to show you as we go through this series. See the geologic column? As you look at that column, I'm going to show you there is no way to get millions of years from each one of those layers because the fossilization process doesn't work the way that the evolutionist wants us to think. How does something get fossilized, church? Very quickly, immediately, buried, like in a flood. Because if any part of that organism is exposed to air, what's going to happen to it? It's roadkill. It's going to decay. It's going to rot. The idea that the geologic column is millions and millions and millions of years, going back to billions of years. I tell you, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. It really does. Evolution is bizarre. Church, I'll say this. There is a worldwide geologic column, and there is a phenomenon that is mind-blowing in this column and in the study of fossils. And it's something called seashells. Y'all know what seashells are. Do you know where they found seashells? On top of Mount Everest. What? What? The highest point on the face of the earth, 29,032 feet above sea level. They have found seashells. How? Because at one point, Everest was underwater. Noah's flood covered the entire earth, and the receding of that water created Everest. The receding of the water created the Grand Canyon and our wonderful Blue Ridge Mountains. Every time you drive up to Deep Gap, God created that by way of Noah's flood. And when you're standing on Grandfather and the Mile High Swinging Bridge, and you're looking across the valley, that was all created by Noah's flood. But you're going, I don't know. I don't... What about everything that I've been taught? Does a fish know he's wet? I want to show you this as we go through time. See, these seashells they're finding on top of Everest come from these little things. You know what that is? I don't know. It's beautiful. It's a crinoid. C-R-I-N-O-I-D. Crinoid. These are underwater animals with tentacles and cone-shaped shells. And they've been found at 29,032 feet above sea level on top of Everest, which is evidence of rapid, sudden deposits of fossils pointing to a watery catastrophe known as Noah's flood. You know, when I was growing up, I wasn't really overtly taught evolution in school. I wasn't taught it at Miller's Creek Elementary School. And even though it was mentioned in high school, my biology teacher at West Wilkes High School was Linda Eller. And I love Miss Linda. Miss Eller said, "Look, y'all, I've got to tell you a little something about evolution," but she said, "I don't believe any of it." She said, "God made us." You can get fired for that today, because all you got to have is some kid running his camera on his phone, and they'll fire you just like that. And so what do the teachers do? The teachers have mortgages to pay. The teachers have car payments to pay. The teachers have got to put kids through college, and they need their job. And so it's fighting a losing battle, because the elites of the National Education Association run it. And they run the curriculum. And so you've got to teach the curriculum. And I know it pains the hearts of many of our Christian teachers. They know this isn't true. And they have to teach this stuff. So I really wasn't impacted by it until I got to Happy Appy. I got to Appalachian. And second semester of my first semester, I was at Gardner Webb trying that whole basketball thing out, and that was a flop. Should have never been there. God got me out of there, got me to Appalachian so I could meet Pam. I'm in my biology class, and my biology professor said she was reincarnated from a cat. I'm not making this up. I called my mom and my dad on the phone back before, you know, we just got landlines. I said, "Y'all paying big money for this woman to teach me this garbage." She said she was reincarnated from a cat that went all the way back to the revolution. So you know me. I expressed what I believed about creation. She told me to stay after class, and I did, and she called me a country bumpkin. A country bumpkin. I knew I was country, but I didn't know I was a bumpkin. She told me I was closed-minded. And she told me, "You're not in Sunday school anymore. You're in a class that teaches facts, not fiction. Keep your mouth shut if you want to pass this class." So I gave her what she wanted on the test. And at the bottom of every test, I said, "I don't believe any of this." That's literally what I did, and signed my name. Made an A in the class, at least to her credit. She could have failed me. But that's what I said, "I don't believe any of this." But I'm going to tell you what happened to me. There was a period of a couple of months that I was shaken to my core. Because I'm like, "Oh no, has everything I've been taught wrong? I mean, this is an expert. She's a professor. She says I'm an idiot to be closed-minded country bumpkin to believe in the Bible. She says it's all fiction." And this is what happens to a lot of our kids that go off to college. Are you listening? They start getting intimidated, gaslit. That woman is gaslighting me. I struggled with it, but I began to do my own research. See, I'm a cynic. Y'all figure that out about me. I'm a cynic at heart. I don't take anything for face value until I do my research. That's why I struggle with the whole COVID thing. Walking into the restaurant, I got my mask on, and then I can walk 10 feet over here and sit down and take my mask off. What happened to COVID? I guess it's just right here, just levitating while I'm eating my meal. It made no sense to me. It was bizarre. The science was bizarre. All these pieces of tape on the floor, 6 feet social distancing, like COVID knew, up 5.5 feet, can't come any further. Made no sense to me. And you look back now, there was no science in any of this. None of it. Even though Anthony Fauci said he knew, because he says, "I am science." So I began to study. And I did my own research. And I want to show you something on the screens. This is what I learned. There is a great difference between macro versus micro evolution. You know the difference? You need to. Let me explain the difference. I believe in microevolution. What is that? A change within a species. Macroevolution is a change from one species to another species. Like somehow a fish can turn into a man, which if you go back far enough in the tree of life, according to evolution, they'll say that. That at some point we were amphibians. That crawled out of the primordial soup from the Big Bang, that somehow grew legs, was then finally able to stand up on all fours, whoo, 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 ha, 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 knuckle dragging human beings. I want to show you that that's not true. But here's what I want you to understand. I believe that Darwin is right on this, survival of the fittest. What do I mean by that? I want to show you a picture of some rabbits. Now, I told Evie there's going to be some rabbits. Evie, there's your rabbits. Okay? Now, I want you to see at the top, there's a desert cottontail rabbit. Here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. At the bottom is a mountain cottontail rabbit. Can a mountain cottontail rabbit survive in the deserts of Nevada? No. It would burn up and fry. Can a desert cottontail survive in the boreal forest in Canada, in the mountains? No, because it's short-haired. It would not make it. So because of the environment, because of genetics, then over time, the animals that can survive in that habitat will produce to be able to survive. That is called microevolution. That is evolution within a species. Macroevolution is jumping from one species to another. I do not believe in that. And there's nothing in the fossil record that can show us that. There's no evidence for that. And I will show you that as we go along. I can't do it all today. So don't all hit me up like they all did after the first service. I had a line. I mean, come see me, but I promise you, it's coming. I just can't do it all. I got 7 minutes left. I can't. You want me to do it all? You know, people tell me all the time, you need to mind the Spirit of God, preacher. You just need to mind the Spirit. And bless God, if we go long, it shouldn't matter to them other people. Yeah, you go out there and tell them. Bless God, he's in there he's preaching up a storm. And I'm telling you, I know it's 30 minutes over and you've been standing out here. You ain't got your coffee and you about to bust a pee. But I'm telling you, just hang on because Jesus is moving. I'd love to do that. I can't do that. I've now got 6 minutes, 54 seconds. I've wasted 22 seconds. A true evolutionist teaches that everything came from an explosion. Evolution, then, in its broadest sense, is a theory that all things come from a gradual change from one form, one species, to another through natural processes over millions and millions of years. So the question of origin really boils down to whether all things were specifically created by God, the God of the Bible, or whether they just happened by random chance. Are you here by random chance or by the purpose and the will of God? Unfortunately, it's not a fair comparison. Our kids are exposed to this. See the screens. This is what's in our kids' science books, right? Y'all have seen that. And it's in all the natural history museums. Everywhere our kids go, this is what they're taught. And then they teach them this, these key evolutionary stages. See this next slide? That we're evolved from protocells to multicellular life. And then we came from fish and mice and apes. But church, God created fish within the fish species, mice within their species, apes within their species, and humans within our species. We don't cross over. There are no transitional forms, and I'm going to show you that. We were created according to our kind. Let me show you this. Go back to Genesis 1, and I want you to go to verse 24. Genesis 1, 24. If you're here today and you want to believe that you evolved from an ape, then you're going to have to make a giant leap. You're going to have to believe that God is an ape. You go, how do you get that? Because we're made in his image. You ready? Here we go. Genesis 1, verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their what? Talk to me. Kinds. Livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their, help me, kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their, and the livestock according to their, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its. See, that's within its own species. And God saw that it was what? Good. Then God said, here's the Trinity, let us, plural, that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, after us, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, excuse me, male and female, he created them. You see that? Are you from a primate? Are you from an ape? See, there was a period of time in my freshman college class in biology that I tried to fit evolution and creation together. I was trying to make God the God of the evolutionary processes, and I was trying to fit in what I was being taught in the biology class with what I'd been taught from the Word of God. And I listened to that lady teach about the Big Bang and listened to her talk about prehistoric man, and how we came from Cro-Magnon man, Peking man, Nebraska man, Neanderthal man, and it finally hit me, and my spirit was checking inside of me, and it finally dawned on me. If all of that professor was telling me was true about prehistoric man, then I guess Adam had to be a caveman, so Adam had to look like this. But he was created in the image of God. God's not a monkey. God's not an ape. Apes don't have spirits, y'all. When apes die, that's it. They return back to the ground. When we die, what happens? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because we're created in His image, and our spirit leaves our body and goes to our Creator. We are made in the image of God, not from monkeys. But I get it. See, we've got this guy that's on all the commercials now, you know. So easy a caveman can do it. The Geico caveman. And we laugh at that. It's an assumption that we all believe in evolution. That's the assumption that we all say that's where we came from. Did Adam drag his knuckles on the ground and grab Eve by the hair of her head with a club? Me, man. You woman. is that what we're talking about here? I'm going to show you as we go through time that Adam was not a caveman. You know what cavemen were? Men who lived in caves. That's that simple. Men who lived in caves. There were men who lived in caves. But that doesn't mean that they walked around dragging their knuckles on the ground. And I'll show you that. You say, what about all these other men? Cro-Magnon, Peking man. What about, I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you and show you. And you'll probably not likely hear it anywhere else. But I'm going to teach you what the Bible says. And you're going to have to get your authority from somewhere. My authority comes from the Word of God, the Creator God. I close with Isaiah chapter 40. Look at the screens. Do you not know? Can you not hear? Has it not been told you from when? The beginning. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He, that's God, who sits above the circle of the earth. If you wonder if the earth is flat, no, it's a circle. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, God does, and makes the rulers of the earth His emptiness. Scarcely are these rulers planted. Scarcely are they sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root when He blows on them. And they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? That I should be like Him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number. These are the stars. Calling them by name. God has named the stars. How about that? By the greatness of His might and because He is strong in power. Not one star is missing. Why do you, O Jacob, speak, O Israel? Why do you even talk, He says. They say, oh, my way is hidden from the Lord like God can't see. And my right is disregarded guarded by my God. Have you not known, says the Lord? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. Wow. Where will you place your authority? Your way is not hidden from the Lord. He created you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. You did not get here by chance, by some sort of explosion in space. You were created by God, who loves you so much, so that when we as humanity blew it in the Garden of Eden, he sent his only son to become one of us and to die for our sins on the cross. And so that by faith, you can accept him, call on his name, and follow him and go to heaven to be with your creator. Where is your authority? Is it going to be the word of God or the word of man? I encourage you to choose the word of God, your creator. Father, I thank you for your word. You have spoken today through your word. Lord, I pray that for those here today who have been questioning or doubting, Lord, that they may come to a place of faith. A faith, Lord, not in a blind faith, but in a reasoned, thinking faith. That's what Christianity is. And Lord, that we can actually look at the evidence of a geologic column or the Grand Canyon. And while the evolutionist sees one thing, we see another. Lord Jesus, I pray for those that need Jesus, that they would come back and talk to us. Maybe those here today who are struggling, who have questions, Lord, that we can encourage them. Lord, I pray you'll take us from this place now, being confident in our faith, confident that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We thank you, Father. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.